Yeah, I mean, I think we all felt a little disrespected maybe coming in by, there was a lot of conversation and none of it was about us. And so, you know, I think we all were highly motivated. Our players were certainly excited to play. Thought we did a great job of, you know, North Carolina came out and executed really well in the first drive. We got down early and it didn't look great for us. Our guys just hung in there and, you know, we really prepared well. Really proud of our guys and they put a lot of work in and we showed up today.
Head coach of TCU, they dominate Belichick and the UNC Tar Heels. Jeremy and Joe, happy football season. What else did we see over the weekend? You saw Miami Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You saw plenty of Ohio State Texas. I watched a lot of that.
Yep, the Arch Manning debut, the Clemson LSU game that night, which was a top 10 matchup. Syracuse got bodied a little bit.
They did. Yeah. Neutral site.
Tennessee, I mean.
It's right. Tennessee in a neutral
You're
site.
You're at an game. SEC opponent on the neutral site?
But it was in Atlanta. Like, right. Yeah. Is that a neutral site? Come on. We'll be back. Stronger than ever, of course. Probably not. Who knows?
Arch Manning, I can't imagine, I haven't looked, is the Heisman favorite this morning. Right?
Yeah. Josh Allen ranked the number 3 player in the NFL, the highest ranking he's ever had. He was outside the top 10 last year. So yeah. Ranked number 3 overall behind Saquon Barkley at 1, Lamar Jackson at 2.
Barkley being the best player in the league. It's what that list does though, right? Like it's not really factoring in as much positional value and whatnot.
It's players saying who's the best. And isn't it also possible, I don't know if they've ever really told us the formula for how it works. Write down 3 of these players and 3 at this position and 3 and whoever has the like Barkley would be, is it like a Heisman or an MVP vote where if I'm ranking quarterbacks, I might be more likely to split 1 and 2 and 1 and 2 on a given year. And if I'm ranking the running backs last year, well, Barkley had the best year. Henry would have been the second best. So,
right.
I don't know how it works. I don't think you should get too bent out of shape about these rankings, anything like that. I do want to make the point about Barkley, though, because here we have a great player joined a great team. And you know, Joe, we would talk about the MVP race every single week, and part of it that bothered me, it always bothers me, that the MVP has become, now that Josh has his, maybe we can kind of put this to bed, but probably not. The MVP has become, well, who has bad teammates?
Mm-hmm.
It turned into that. Derrick Henry can't win it because he's got Lamar. Lamar can't win it because he's got Derrick Henry. Well, it can't be Saquon Barkley is the best line in football.
They can't be too bad, though, because they also have to be good enough to get you to the playoffs.
Correct.
As Joe Burrow found
Joe
out.
Burrow can't make it, but if he did make the playoffs, well, he has Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
And we kind of watched as Allen's MVP campaign became a little bit about nobody else on the team is all that good, and we know that they have a good team and they have a good roster, but they don't have as many stars, right? And this NFL Top 100 is proof of that. It's Allen, Dawkins, and Cook, and that's it.
Yeah.
Benford should probably be on there. We all know that.
But it is how he won. I mean, we heard voters, Dan Orlovsky.
It is how he won.
Dan Orlovsky is an MVP vote, and I remember him going on TV the next day and basically laying out, like, this is why I voted for Allen. Lamar has 9 Pro Bowlers around him. He's got Derrick Henry around him. I'm voting for Josh.
Right.
Because the idea is that it depends on how deep you go into it. Orlovsky and 27 others that voted for Allen in first place probably thought, like, yeah, his teammates aren't as good as Lamar Jackson's. I remember Mina Kimes laying out the reason she didn't vote for Allen was because she thought he had the best offensive line in football.
Right.
Like, I'm not doing the teammate thing. I'm just looking at that because I think Allen's got an offensive line that nobody's talking about. So, but that is, isn't that it? That's the analysis now. It's part of, though, how close they are. If there was a gulf in statistics, or I guess there was a gulf in statistics. If there was a gulf in your reputation of the two and one had better teammates, you might give it to the better guy anyway. But in this case, I just feel like Jackson and Allen are so close that this was probably more than ever that you did the teammate thing. And it's just because you're searching for anything that shows one's value being better than the other.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's just going to feel like a tie. So I wonder how much of that is the MVP award and how much of it is these two. These two are neck and neck at the top, and good luck. trying to differentiate between them.
Well, Barkley to the Eagles, there's probably a point to be made in here. I'm trying to find out where they ranked in rushing offense the year before he got there. Okay, I've got it. So
with, like Kenneth Gainwell and...
With DeAndre Swift.
DeAndre Swift, right.
Right.
Yep.
They were a top 10 rushing offense the year before.
Okay.
They ran for 2,000 yards. Their yards per carry, not that good. Like, Barkley, this is something, whether we're talking about getting the Bills another receiver, or why James Cook matters to me, why I wanted the Bills to bring back James Cook. Did the Eagles have, did they massively upgrade their line last year versus the year before?
They actually lost Jason Kelce.
Okay. Kelce didn't play last year. Right.
Right.
So they didn't really upgrade by any measure. What they did was they get a player in there that helps showcase that their offensive line is better than DeAndre Swift can show it can be.
Mm-hmm.
So the Eagles go from running for 2,100 yards, 2,190 the year before. And then last year, Barkley goes for 2,000 himself. And they maybe give him more carries. He had 345 carries. But nearly 6 yards a carry, 13 touchdowns. The school of thought for the Eagles was, we're good. We run the ball relatively well. Let's get somebody that makes it even better. And what happened? They win the Super Bowl. He becomes an MVP candidate. He gets 2,000 yards. He's named the NFL's best player. So there's, to me, the point is, let's be careful about the MVP conversation and what the ultimate goal actually is. Not that anyone really has this confused, but it felt like the MVP conversation kind of lost sight of what is important. What you want is, what I want for the Bills, is to win the Super Bowl. And if they win the Super Bowl with three top 100 players or nine, nobody cares. But I think their chances to win it are better if they have nine top 100 players like the Eagles do. So hopefully this offseason, they found a couple. Maybe it's Deion Walker who finds his way on that list, or Joey Bosa makes an appearance because he has a really good season, or who else? Keon Coleman has the kind of breakout where he's ranked the 74th best player next year. Like, I would look at all those as big time wins for them, of course.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to win the games, and when you win the games, it's kind of like, you know, whatever, chicken or the egg. Do you have nine top 100 players because you won the Super Bowl, or did you win the Super Bowl because you have nine top 100 players, you know?
Right.
But finding more support. The Eagles, to me, are obviously a success story of, we were good. What if we decided to go for the best at it? The best at it.
Mm-hmm.
A given thing, and that's running the football. And Baltimore did the same thing, right? Baltimore is a really good run team before Derrick Henry showed up, and they showed up and said, what if we added an absolute freak show at the position to make it even more dangerous?
Yep.
So, congrats to Saquon Barkley for being number one.
Is that also like the declaration that we're sure now, like, a non-quarterback will never win it again?
MVP?
Barkley had 2,000 yards last year and didn't get, you know how many votes he had for MVP? Zero. First place votes. He had zero first place votes. In fact,
is it because his team's too good?
Maybe. I mean, I just looked back to, 2022 is when they changed the way you vote on awards for the MVP. Like,
it used to be just vote for a player.
I think that's right.
And there was no first or second place votes because Russell Wilson had never received a vote.
Right. So in the 3 years since they changed the voting, a non-quarterback has not received a single first place vote. Not Tyreek Hill when he had his monster year. Maybe before that, I see Cooper Kupp got 1% the year before. But like, the non-quarterbacks don't get anything.
Is there any chance the NFL players are consciously or subconsciously pushing back on the fact that nobody else gets awards? So, hey, let's shout out some running backs and some receivers at the top.
I think I have to look into what 2021 was. I think it's possible, the way I'm just looking through it real quick, that the last time a non-quarterback got a first-place vote for MVP was in 2017, Todd Gurley. 8 years ago. So those guys are not winning MVP.
No.
I probably won't look at it much this year. I've not really looked at MVP odds much recently, but I can't imagine there's a running back, a receiver, or anything anywhere near the top.
803-0550, our phone number. Jeremy and Joe. Pete Gwelly, Bills and Sabres COO, coming up at the top of the hour. We'll chat about some Sabres news and notes about upgrades to the arena, single game tickets on sale, and of course we are entering into week one of the football season. How the games might go with the stadium across the street. We got lots to get to. PSL sales, how the rivalries uniforms are being received. plenty to get to. So Pete Guelli coming up at 8, Howard Simon at 8:30 for his first installment of formally picking the Bills coming up at 8:30. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.